Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Martino Malembe, Lord, I thank you. 15 minutes just after 2. It's 14:15. So if you're going somewhere, you know what time it is. You know if you have to run, if you have to take it easy because you're on time. But hey, you are on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, Heart to Heart, with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. Joined now by Pastor Gladwell Zabani, responding to the last, Muruti, I was saying to the family, there are many questions, many, when it comes to premarital. Even those that we don't think they are serious, they might be serious to someone to say, hey, now I want to know. And that person won't get married unless they get an answer on that. So there are many, and we will have another session like this. I promise the family. It might not be next week. It might not be next month. But we'll have another session like this. But we are just, we thought we wrapped up, and family were like, icon, that one. And they wanted to know about that one. And so Muruti is here to just close it nicely and answer those questions that you had, which are concerns to you as well. Muruti, the first one being in and out of community of property. I don't think the Bible says anything on that. I don't remember the Bible saying in community of property. But I remember the Bible saying that love your wife and wives submit to your husband. Other Bibles say respect your husband, honor your husband. So what does it, what do we have anything for family members who are asking about in and out of community of property? Is there anything in the word, or what advice do you have for them?
Greetings to you and to the family as well. Thank you so much. Yeah, that point actually is my first point that I wanted to open with. To say that the Bible does not say anything regarding property in relation to marriage. I personally do not know of any scriptural verse in the Bible addressing this matter in this way. This question of whether to marry in community of property or out of community of property addresses the various marital regimes created within the legal system, but not addressed by the Bible. So what I'm saying basically is that the Bible teaches the intention of marriage to be unity and oneness. As you rightfully mentioned, quoted Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Another scripture very interesting is Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, and did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might have a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of the youth. I'd like to read it in the New Living Translation, because it's very interesting as well. It says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are his. And what does he want? He wants godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. So this is basically what the Bible teaches on marriage. And then you've got other additional verses of scripture talking about the roles of the husband and the role of the wife. And that's all. And when you study the Bible on scriptures pertaining to divorce, there is nothing there that addresses the question of property when people divorce in the Bible. So now, the Bible simply doesn't mix marriage with property, period. And I think this point is very important. Because often when people consider marriage, that's one of the things that they think of. You know, they think of money, they think of material things, financial security, and so forth and so on. But the Bible doesn't mix those. The Bible simply talks about the union between a husband and his wife. So in other words, what happens with the property that belongs to the married couple is entirely up to them. God left it up to us to decide what to do with that. That is the reason that the law then of the land then allows married people to draw a will relating to the question of property.
Mm.
Now, if the family members want to know more about the will, the drawing up of wills, about the regimes, the different regimes in marriage, that is the antenuptials and the marriage in community of property, I advise that they consult legal experts.
Mm.
They will shed more light on that. But the Bible does not address that particular issue. So people who choose to enter marriage must discuss how they decide to manage the property they are going to own when they are in the marriage.
Mm.
The legal system has created regimes to address this question as to how you address, especially taking into consideration the modern world and what is happening in the world that we are living in.
Mm.
This question of the marriage regimes does play an important role, and is something that people who choose to get married must consider. But we must emphasize that there is nothing in the Bible on that particular matter.
Hmm. All right. All right. Okay. And they can just follow it up with legalistic bodies, not individuals, legalistic bodies. And so another one says, when do we say it is a marriage? So if I am lobolat or I have lobolat, isn't that marriage? Isn't it enough? Do I need to do some other extra things for it to become a marriage? Or can I move in with my spouse?
Yeah, no, that's a very important question as well. Biblically speaking, a marriage becomes marriage when it is, when it is certified by legal officials. In other words, those who are in charge of governing the nation, number one. And number two, it is very important also that that the families, both families of the bride and the groom, must agree. The family of the bride must agree to hand their daughter over to the groom, and the family of the groom must agree to receive and accept the bride as their daughter-in-law. That's the second thing that's very important. And number three, there must be witnesses who will witness and attest to the fact that these two people made a decision and declared it publicly in front of officials to say, we are now becoming husband and wife.
Mm.
And that is why then, in addition to that, the law then says you must now sign a document to certify that and to ascertain and to verify that indeed this is the decision you have taken.
Okay.
Hence the necessity for procedures should the two people decide to divorce, or in the case of bereavement, if one of the spouses passes away, then those legal documents then come in very helpful in managing the rest of the matters, including the property that the couple own together. So it becomes a marriage once. Now, the other thing that I need to add is that question of lobola.
Mm.
As we know that in the Bible, there's no white wedding.
Mm.
You just have the two families coming together, and then the whole event is officiated by an official of the law, and then it becomes a marriage. So once the two people, once the husband, pays the bola, in terms of African law, that is a marriage.
Okay.
You are married.
Mm.
So once you've paid the lobola, the families have agreed, the documents have been signed by both families and the witnesses, it's a marriage. Now, if you choose to do it the Western way, if I may use that term, you can, do the white wedding. Let me rather use that term. You can do the white wedding
And just have a civil wedding, marriage. I mean,
a civil wedding, marriage. Mm. Yes, absolutely.
So, does it mean that most of our black people do the customary, then civil? They have both?
They do both.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very true. They do both. And then in other cases, others choose not to do the traditional and the civil, but they simply go to the magistrate's court.
Mm.
When I say the civil, I'm talking about the white wedding.
Yes.
You know. They choose then to go to the magistrate's court and then have witnesses from both families,
mm.
and then they get married in front of an official appointed by the law,
mm.
And then they get their marriage certificate, and they are married.
Mm. I've seen a lot of those now lately on social media platforms who would come and they say, we've spent like 80 rands. That's all we spend on them. And they're celebrating. They're married. They got the certificate. Yes. They went, yeah. They had witnesses. And then they just buy some nice chow and they eat and they celebrate just, you know, with the few people that are there. And they're like, no, for our marriage, for our wedding, we spend this much. I've seen a lot of those now coming up on social media platforms as well.
Yes, that is true. People these days, some people opt to go that way. But, you know, the important thing here for our discussion is that, once again, there is no model as to how people get married. That depends on the law of the land. It depends on culture. It depends on the two people getting married
and their families,
how they decide to handle that particular matter.
All right. Now, another question that came is a matter. It's this one where people are asking what to expect if you're getting married at the age of 40 or 50. And so somebody was talking about peace. Somebody at that age has gone through trials and tribulations, and all they need is peace. Now, my question is, what is peace when we're talking in marriage? Because it would seem like then it means there shouldn't be any differences in that marriage. We are just one river flowing together, the waves are going smoothly, you know, like at the ocean, and there's no war between the two. So what is peace and what to expect, really, when one is getting married to somebody who's 40 or 50?
Yeah, well, look, I wouldn't actually go with the term peace. I would rather go with a harmonious union.
Mm.
Where they are able to coexist despite their differences, despite their challenges, and despite not seeing eye to eye on certain matters, but they have already matured to the point of having developed very effective conflict resolution skills,
right,
and problem solving skills, and that then helps them to be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with regards to the question of age, you know, the Bible doesn't specify the age for any adult people to decide to get married.
Mm.
Now, logically, a child cannot get married because, you know, for the simple reason that they are still immature and incapable of handling marital responsibilities and, you know, in their entirety, including the marriage bed. You know, they are still minors, so they are not yet mature to handle such things.
Mm.
What is of significance in this case is that there are both advantages and disadvantages related to the age at which people decide to get married, especially in our modern world. Now, I can just outline some advantages and disadvantages. Let me begin with those who get married at a younger age, in their 20s. Firstly, it's advantageous because those are the best years for child rearing, you know, for people to be prepared to bring children into this world. They still have plenty of time. Secondly, they still have the energy and the strength to work for the purposes of raising their children.
Mm-hmm.
It allows them to better handle challenges of child rearing, you know, especially in the teen years. You can imagine if your child is in the teens and you are 75 years of age, that's going to be a challenge. You have to attend school meetings, and you have to attend problems and challenges of that nature. That's going to be, you know, that's the disadvantage. I mean, that's the advantage aside. The disadvantages of getting married at a young age will be inexperience.
Immaturity,
lack of knowledge. Those three in particular I have chosen. And these are the things that cause a lot of conflict between the two, between the couple. You know, there's a saying that says, an anonymous saying that says, marriage is a school in which the pupils always learn too late.
I've heard that.
Yeah, the reason why that happens is because at a younger age, people are still, you know, they don't know much. They are immature and they are inexperienced. And so they fight and grapple over over matters that people who are older would be able to handle in a different way. So that's the disadvantage of getting married at a young age. The advantages of getting married at an older age, 40 or 50 above, is one, people are mature, they are experienced, they have knowledge, and most people at that time have gone past childbearing age. And as a result, you will find that now those are the disadvantages, that by that time, you know, those who have children at that age experience some challenges, like I mentioned earlier, where, you know, your children are now in their teens. You know, when children get to be in their teens, they are very difficult to deal with. So now, you know, when you're a little younger, you still have the strength and to be able to deal with that, the disadvantage would be that. So, however, over and above everything, there is no biblical, but biblically wrong or prohibitable thing in the Bible relating to getting married at any age of adulthood. The important thing is that the two must be adults. They must have moved past the age of being children, and they've moved into adulthood. In this case, we'll talk about more especially in their 20s. The law would have its own stipulations. You know, we can all research that and find out what the law says. But the scripture that I want to read relating to that is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. And it says, let me quickly read it in the King James. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience scarred with a hot iron. Now verse 3 is what I'm looking for. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So when you know the truth, then you understand that nothing forbids you as an adult to decide to get married. And there is no age limit. There is nothing that you must only do it when you reach a certain, when you are below a certain age, or when you are above a certain age. As long as you are an adult, you are at liberty to choose to get married.
All right. Well, family member says, Pongile, remember, when you are that age, it's only for companionship. All right. Muruti, is it only for...
Yeah.
So is it just for friendship?
Look, marriage, you know, itself is about companionship. Whether people get married at a young age or at an older age, the companionship is important. However, given the current circumstances, especially in the modern world, most people at that age would either be widowed or they would be divorced. And then a few would be, you know, never having married. So now, you know, at that age, if for instance people are widowed or divorced, it means that Their children are grown up now.
Uh-huh.
So they are not even thinking about starting a family. So it would be the two of them in the marriage. And so the companionship is important, as it is. It has always been important in the marriage. So it is about companionship, but it is also about, understanding what marriage is. It's about maturity. It's about knowledge. It's about experience to say, I am in a better position to handle marriage at my age.
Mm, all right. Hey, it sounds like it's just a matter of just, pushing time.
No, not really. Remember, I think it's important that we address that one. And then I'm glad you raised it, because Genesis 2:24 is very clear.
Genesis?
The purpose of marriage. Chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
verse 24. Mm-hmm. It's very clear regarding the reason for marriage and the purpose.
It says, let's go to it quickly.
It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother
mm-hmm.
and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, period. There's nothing more, no mention of children there, no mention of starting a family or anything.
Mm.
It's just the two of them.
Mm. Mm.
So it's about that oneness, it's about that union, it's about that companionship and growing together. It's about the intimacy that they share with each other.
Mm. All right, because one can chase a thousand, but two can chase a 10,000. So they can do more. All right, we're coming back, Muruti. Thank you so much for that. Let's take the sounds of Ronnie L. You are good. Ons kom terug.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Matlafala moyeng ka go theletsa lenano la rena la hlala nathi la bobedi le la botlhano ka iri ya robedi thapama. Theletsa baruti ka mihuta huta ge baruta lentjula modimo go tiisetsa tshepo pelonya gago. Theletsa Radio Pulpit mo go 657 AM go agaga moyeng.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
You're listening to 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Those were sounds from Ronnie L. You are good. We're sitting on 16 minutes just before 3. Remember, 3, it's something else with Germany, your announce. And afterwards, you have Luko Mgwediputi on Spectrum with you from 4 up until 6. Then Dwayne comes through. And yes, my family, we have so much for you. So beautifully packed for you. You don't want to miss any show. You don't want to miss any hour with our amazing Radio Pulpit program. So do stay tuned and do not touch the dial. I am Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3. I'm wrapping up with Pastor Ledwell Zavani. Ons rip op nog. And then we'll come back. Yeah, we promised the family we will come back. Now, a family member asked me a question, and this is Beauty saying, Sibongile, I'm not quite sure, is it wrong not to feel like getting married and just staying alone without a partner? I have gone through so much. Maruti?
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
Okay, that's just before you answer Beauty, let's take a family member on the line. Hi, family, how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. How are you, Sisi Smoke?
Sikhona babunkosi, welcome.
Amen. I'm fully swami ninjana. Siyaphila ninjana babunkosi. Jesu inkosi yabusa. Sisi Smoke lukuhlasele.
Ay, akusimi. Ifemeli yeradio.
Phela indaba yepropathy angiboni ukuthi uNkulunkulu beyangayifaka ngobe uNkulunkulu masishada ka-expect ukuthi sizodivorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, manje indaba ya-incommunity or out-community
mina into engiyikhumbulayo ifa linikezwa abantwana hayi sihlukanisela.
Yeah.
Eh manje leyo asibekele neceleni leyo.
Yes sir.
Ya eyokushada senikhulile.
Mhm.
Ivamile ukuba right ngoba inama less expectation.
Okay.
Ya ngoba uma wahluleka ukuba rich unabo 25 angeke expect ukuthi uzoba rich under 50.
Eish.
Lokho umthole eminako yiloko okufanele ukwamukela.
Okay.
Akusekho okunye okusho okufanele uku-expect ukuthi kusazoza
kuba umusa
ya uma ungithole ngihlala emkhukhwini wangamukela ngihlala emkhukhwini ungacabanga ukuthi ngisazokwakhela i-big house
yisan
uma-expect loko ya uma kukhonekile yebo kukhonekile
usishayisa wena baba unkosi usishayisa wena baba unkosi
Sizibongile ngahlebu kwakhe i-big house nginabo 25-30 ngiyokhona ukuyakha senginafifty o shouthi vele uma ngithole emkhukhwini vele shouthi siyawufela emkhukhwini
eyisan eyisan yo
and then nami uma kuwukuthi ngisafuna ukukhulisa iy'ngane kusho ukuthi sizawuthatha izukulu
ya
iy'ngane sizoba nazo izukulu anga-expect ukuthi
you create children for
uma kuwukuthi akanazi iy'ngane la vela khona nama nginazo asiku-adopt-a
alrighty then
ya ngoba ngisho nebhenki uma senginafifty angeke nginikeze iloni yendlu
eyisan
ya manje loko enginako iloko
you accept the person with who they yeah. with everything they have all right then thank you babukosi
ngiyabonga sisibonke
thank you
ngiyabonga mfundisi baba
ngiyabonga
babukosi
babukosi is going to make the family come with tons and you know bricks on us babukosi says when you're older it brings in it brings less expectations so if you find a person staying in a certain place, don't expect them to just suddenly being able to grow bigger than who they are at the age of 50. If they couldn't when they were 20, 30, 40, then when they are 50, why should you expect them to give you something that they do not have at that moment? So you accept them for who they are and what they have. And you cannot expect a woman to give you kids or carry kids at that age because the years have gone by. So it means that if you still desire to have children, then you have to take care of your own grandchildren. Yo! It's amazing that people at that age, 40-something, 50-something, now they are talking grandchildren. Yo. Hey, Babunkosi Zosichayis. Muruti, as we close, and also bringing in what Beauty said, is it wrong if I feel like I... So both of them as we are closing?
Yeah, thank you so much. No, look, I would agree with Babu Nkosi 100%. Everything he said, you know, is on point. The other thing is that, you know, as he's talking, it ties into that question that came up earlier to say that when at that age it's for companionship. Look, the fact of the matter is, especially when you say 50 and upward, life becomes lonelier and lonelier. And colder is a fact.
Mm.
And therefore, that's why people would need to have, you know, someone that they can share a companionship with.
Mm.
And with regard to the question of whether it's wrong to remain unmarried, no, it's not. The Bible actually does say that. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, does advise the Corinthians to say, if it were according to him, he would advise them to remain unmarried. But now the point is this, there is nothing in the Bible that compels anyone to get married.
Mm.
So marriage is...
you're not forced, to get married, yes.
You're not forced. It's a personal choice.
Okay.
You know, so you are allowed to choose whether to get married or not to get married. In addition to that,
Let me say that if you make that decision, as if the family member says, because you've been hurt in the past, then you shouldn't just leave it at that and say, I'm just going to stay unmarried. You need to address those hurts and those pains.
And who knows?
Therefore, you need to go for counseling. Yes.
Yeah, because maybe after getting healing, that's when you can realize, but I can love again.
Absolutely. In a time of pain, it's easy to say, I'll never again. But then a bit later in life, then you change your mind.
Yeah. Putinok says, the just shall live by faith. God is able. Look to Jesus, family. Look to Jesus. So if you are that one who feels, I think I want to remain and not settle down, look unto Jesus, the earth and the finisher of your faith, and be faithful unto him. Serve him with all that you are, and do what he says you ought to do. But yeah, I agree, Limuruti. Get healing if you need healing. If you've been hurt, do get healing. You never know who you really are until your hurt is dealt with. Until your wound is healed, you do not know how fast you can run. So until then, yeah, no decisions. Ne, Muruti?
Absolutely.
All right, Muruti.
Attend to yourself.
Yeah. Muruti, let's close it one last time. Family, one last time. We'll come back again some other time. But thank you for those questions. And I hope that you have addressed the questions that you had on premarital issues. So, Muruti, as we close, what do we say to our premarital couples and those who are desiring to be in one day?
Yeah, it's very important to realize that the decision to get married is up to you. It's a personal choice. How you decide to handle the property, it's up to how the two of you decide, you know, discuss it. There's nothing wrong getting married at any age of adulthood. It's very, very important to understand that and to make yourself knowledgeable in the world and to be sure that when you do take a decision to get married, you are ready for it and you accumulate as much knowledge and information about it as possible.
And I think also praying about it, Nemurut, and that Babu, yes. I forgot to mention that Babu Nkosi said God didn't add in community or out of community, because to him, when we get married, is for life. It's for life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no divorcing about it. It's for life. But hey, he did say, because of the hardness of the heart, then Moses had to come up with that decree of divorce. So thank you so much, Muruti, for talking to us yet again today. May God awesomely bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you and the family as well.
And family, that is Pastor Letwell Zabani. If you'd like to be in touch with him, he's available on WhatsApp, or you can call him 071-148-4938. It's 071-148-4938. Alternatively, you can get him on Facebook as Letwell Zabani. His email address, letwellzabani@gmail.com. letwellzabani@gmail.com. The numbers for the last time, 071-148-4938. I'm signing out. You and I are meeting tomorrow on Heart to Heart at 12. Next up, we say hello to Drew Amini, your one else on something else, leaving you with the sounds of Hezekiah Walker. And the song is Every Praise. Enjoy it.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.